The daf for today is Pei Zayin. We'll start on daf Pei Vavam and Beis. Five lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Omar Rabba Barav Rabbi Yehuda V'Rab Chananya Ben Akavya Amud Dovarecha Rabbi Yehuda Adam Morav. So Rabbi Yehuda was Mekil with regard to Mayim, as we saw in our Mishnah, with regard to a barb that's located equidistant between two chatzeros and there's a kosel that goes over it. He's going to apply the principle of God, Achis Mechitzta, to imagine as if the wall went all the way down to the bottom of the bar and split the bar into two, allowing each one of the Bnei HaChatzer on both sides to draw water from the bar. Rav Chananya ben Akash Omer, Gizustro Sheesh Ba Arba Amos Al Arba Amos. We're talking about a platform that shoots out of a wall and it's over the water. And it has 4 amos by 4 amos. And it doesn't have any mechitzos that would take it down to the water. But nevertheless, here we start Pei Zayin. Chokek Ba Arba Arba Umemale. What he could do is, in the platform, on the floor of this Gizustra, he cuts out a hole, an opening of 4 by 4 tefachim. And the reason why you need Arba Arba tefachim, that's explained by Rashi, actually, back on Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph, the last line of Rashi, "Demechitza suya lepochos michalal arba ena mechitza." So if we want to set up mechitzos that will allow us to draw water from the lake or the ocean up to the gezustra, then we need to set up a reshus hayochid with mechitzos. The minimum of mechitzos in height is 10 tefachim, and it's got to surround an area that's not less than 4 by 4 tefachim, Rashi says. Otherwise, it's not a mechitza. Now, every ama has 6 tefachim. So if you're talking about 4 amos, 4 times 6 is 24 tefachim. And now he cuts out 4 tefachim in the middle of this gezustra. So once you cut out the 4 by 4 tefachim from this gezustra, then on the sides of the gezustra, you're left with 10 tefachim on each side. And now Rav Chananya is going to apply the principle called kfof. And what that means is that you imagine as if these mechitzos on all 4 sides of the char, again, the char is 4 by 4, so he's got 10 tefachim on all the sides around. He says, imagine these sides going down, such that now that char, that hole, which is 4 by 4 tefachim, is surrounded by mechitzos of 10 tefachim each. And I have a diagram here. He doesn't show you the nechfafim, but he shows you that when you cut out the dalet tefachim here, you'll see that there's 10 tefachim on all the sides that you can now imagine bent over, nechfafim lamata, it's called. And they now surround this neck of this char. And the big kula here of Rav Chananya ben Akasha is that he's going to apply 2 different imaginary legal principles overriding, so in other words, piling them up one on top of the other like a piggyback, in order to permit drawing the water through your window, putting a pail in this 4 by 4 tefachim hole and drawing the water from the ocean or the lake. Number one, he's going to apply the principle of nechfafim. And that means that we see and imagine as if the mechitzos of 10 tefachim around the 4x4 tefachim hole are going down. And number two, he's going to then apply the principle of go to achis to imagine that these machitzas go all the way down to the water, such that when he draws the water, immediately it's in a rishus hayachid. And these are two imaginary halachas that Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya is going to be lenient because he's going to allow doubling up on these two halachas. And Omale Abaye, Abaye says to Rabbi Dilma Lohi, you don't have any compelling reason to combine these two shitos. Adkan lokom Rabbi Yehuda asam, when does Rabbi Yehuda say that we can be mekil for the sake of mayim? In the case of bar, shebein shtei chatzeros, and you've got this mechitza, this kosel, that goes on top of the bar, and it's what we call a mechitza tluya, it's really lingering up in the air, so to speak, but ela diomar godaches mechitza, he's only going to apply one principle, and that's godaches, and he's going to take this kosel all the way down to the bottom of the bar, avol kuf v'gud lo. To double up this piggyback of Rav Chananya ben Akavya and apply both the principles of kuf, which means to bend the mechitzos. The mechitzos are really flat, and now you're bending them downward. And on top of that, now apply the principle of god achis mechitzta. That we don't do. We don't know that Rabbi Yehuda v'matir to be somech on these kinds of mechitzos in order to draw the water from the well, and combining these two theoretical or conceptual principles. The case that Rav Chananya was ruling on was Biyama Shel Tveria. And now the Gemara is going to explain that Yam Kineret of Tveria is very unique. And that's why Rav Chananya was willing to be lenient and allow drawing water through this gezustra. Hoil v'yeshba ognin v'ayoros v'karpifos. Which means that the water of the Kinneret is surrounded by ognin. We said already yesterday, I think, that ognin is the sfas hayom. Right, that's the outer lip of the water, and it's very, very tall. It's very high, and the ugnin will surround the water at a very profound height, and this goes up above the water level. And Rashi says it's like mechitzos, which surround the body of water. And Rashi says it's ktsas heker, it's not real mechitzos. Rashi says, this is about 8 lines down from the top, afagav di akati karmelisi, the size of the Kinneret is more than a base of sign, more than 5,000 amas square, and therefore it has the halacha of a karmelis because it's what we call a karpaf shelo hukaf lidira. But nevertheless, Rashi says, miu takanta purta ki ha sagi. It's a takanta purta. It's a measure of takana, not a full takana. We don't have real full mechitzo surrounding the Kinneret. But the sfas hayom goes high, and it looks like mechitzos, and therefore it's a kind of a heker. And furthermore, around Tveria, you have areas that are forest areas and other karpifios that are surrounded by mechitzos. To make a long story short, the area here of Tveria with its Yam Kineret looks like it's surrounded by mechitzos, and that's called the Takanta Purta, and that's where Rav Chananya ben Akavya was willing to be mekil. And the whole reason why he's willing to be mekel is because the entity of a karmelis, which is the status of the water, is only derabbanon. And the rabbanon were afraid, excuse me, that if you rely on the Doraisa halacha and you carry from a Karmelist to Rishus HaYachid, it looks like a Rishus HaRabim. But here, there's a bit of a heker. It looks like it's not exactly Rishus HaRabim. It's not your classic Karmelist, and therefore he was willing to be making of a B'Shar Memos with regard to other bodies of water, like, for example, Rabbi Yehuda's case of a bar, which is located between two Chatzeros, lo. In those cases, Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya would not be willing to be Mekil when you set up this Mechitza to separate the two Chatzeros. It wasn't really a Mechitza that was originally erected for the purpose of splitting the water in the bar and the citron below, the cistern below the Kosel. And therefore the Gemara now concludes, Abai concludes, that we cannot connect Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha, make them interdependent. Now, at this point in the sugya, Abaye is going to offer a number of possible scenarios and a number of structures that you can set up to be matir, taking the water through the Chor on the Gustra, even without Arba al Arba Amos. So initially we said that the four Tfachim by four Tfachim hole has to be surrounded by a Gustra that is 24 Tfachim square. And now Abai is going to try to set it up that there are certain scenarios where you can circumvent the law, so to speak, and you don't need 24 by 24 tefach. Omar Abaye, here's scenario number one. Uledivrei Reb Hananya ben Akavya, who's willing to combine both chuf and go to achis mechitza. Chaisa. Now I would add the word gustera. Smucha lekosel. Bepachos mishlosha tfachim. You've got a wall that faces the we'll call it an ocean for and the distance between the wall where he has his window, and that's where he's gonna put his pail out the window, and the kosel is, let's call it 2.9 Tfachim. And as we know from experience, from training, that sets up what's called lovewood. And in such a case, the platform we call the gustera does not have to fit that requirement of Arba Amos al Arba Amos. But rather, now keep in mind as we go through this scenario, this structure of Abaye, that the kosel itself is one of four mechitzos that surround this chor, this hole. Which means we only need three other mechitzos to in the gustra to surround the chor and make it into a chor that is surrounded by four mechitzos. Tzorech shiyehei orka Arba Amos, V'rochba Achadasar, U'mashehu. All he needs is in the Orach is 4 Amos, and we'll say that the Orach goes north and south. I mean, I'm just throwing out an example. So he needs 4 Amos in Orach on this platform, right? On this Gustra. However, the Rochav could be 10 Tfachim and a Mashu. Okay. Okay, let's see if we can try verbally to create a little bit of a picture of what's going on here. The Rochav is Achadasar Umashu. Now he carves out his hole in the middle of the Orach on the lip that's close to the empty space between the Gezustra and the Kosel. And what he needs now is just a tefach and a little bit more on the rochav, on the width of the gezustra. So he'll need arba tefachim biarka, but now we can add to it the 2.9 tefachim that separate the airspace that separates the gezustra from the kosel. Because once he does so, then with that opening, which we said was a tefach umashu, if you add the airspace between that tefach umashu and the kosel, which as we said was 2.9 tefachim, so you add a tefach and a mashu, and now you get 4 tefachim. So the nekev now is considered to be 4x4 tefachim, even though it's made up primarily of airspace. Now, the gezustra, which we said is separated from the kosel by a little bit less than 3 tefachim, now, if you're looking at it from, you know, from, just 1 second. So if you were floating in the air above the ocean and facing this wall, what you see is that there are 10 tefachim that start from the outer part of the wall of the platform of the gezustra, meaning out towards the water. We'll call that west, moving towards the east. Let's say the coastal is on the east. So as you go west towards the east, you have 10 tefachim, plus you have a tefach umashahu. And that tefach umashahu is now surrounding an area which is 4x4 tefachim, simply because we add the tefach umashahu of the actual platform, the physical material platform, to the 2.9 open halal that takes you from the west to the east, so to speak, meaning towards the kosel. So basically what you have now is roim es ha nekev mukov b'mechitzos. We now consider the Nekev completely surrounded by mechitzos. We have mechitza achas, harei hi kosel abinyan, right? Because the nekev is very close; it's proximate to the kosel. And we're going to have 3 other mechitzos by applying the principle of nichfefes, in which we take the 10 tefachim that are left on the rochav, which means going from north to south, as we said before. And if we bend these down, since they are 10 tefachim, then you set up mechitzos. And now you have mechitzos when you bend down these platforms, imaginary, right, bend down. And all you need is that tefach umashahu, in addition to the 10 tefachim of these mechitzos. So you've got 2 sides of the platform on the right and the left of the chakik of the char. Those fall down. Then you're left with 10 tefachim going towards the east, meaning from west towards the east, and we fold that one down, so we got 3 mechitzos. And as far as the chakika is concerned, the char, we have now the addition of the lavud of the 2.9 airspace tefachim, together with the tefach umashahu, and all told, we now have 4x4 tefachim. We have 4x4 tefachim that are surrounded by four mechitzos. One is the mechitzos of the kosel, and the other are the three mechitzos of kfof, of nechfafos. And again, I have here a couple of diagrams. I don't know if you have these diagrams. And that's what we have over here. So as it turns out, the platform, instead of being 4x4 amos, which is 24 tefachim, it will have 24 amos on the, let's call it the north-south side, but when you talk about the east-west angle, you've got only 10 tefachim on each platform, plus the tefach umashu, all told, 11 and a mashu. Now, Abai takes it a step further in scenario number 2. And what does he have? Chaisa's kufa. Now, he's going to have two scenarios. This is the first of two, in which he has what's called a neser in Hebrew, which is a kind of a board, and the board is zakuf, keneged hakosel. It's standing vertically near the kosel. And the distance between this vertical platform or board and the kosel is going to be less than, just one second, let's just go through it. Is tzarech shehei gova asar tefachim, the height of this neser zakuf is 10 tefachim, v'rochba shisha tefachim u'shnei mashuyin. And its width, going from north to south, is 6 tefachim and 2 mashahus. Now, the distance between this board that is vertical and the kosel is 4 tefachim. Okay, so now we have easy two mechitzos. We have the kosel, and we have this neser, this board, which, as we said before, is 10 tefachim in height. So it certainly is a valid mechitza. Now, how do we get two more mechitzos on the two sides? Once again, we're going to say nichfaf. And what we're going to do is, on each side, we're going to fold over from this platform a tefach and a mashahu. And what we're going to be left with is 4 tefachim. Right? Because the entire width, right, as we said, north to south, of this platform is 6 tefachim, if you subtract plus 2 mashu. So if you subtract a tefach and a mashu on each side and fold that over, you now have lavud. Why? Because the distance between the platform, this board, and the kosel was 4 tefachim. But now, when I bend this neser on both of its sides towards the kosel by a tefach and a mashu, I now have reduced the distance between the kosel and the neser to less than 3 tefachim. Do you follow me? Because again, the actual physical airspace that separates the neser from the kosel is 4 tefachim. But now I have a tefach and a mashu on each side. Now, why is it critical that I'm left with 4 tefachim in that neser after I fold over a tefach and a mashu on each side, because again, the neser is six tefachim and two mashus wide, because I want to be left with four tefachim. Why? Because I want to create a mechitza around the open area between the neser and the kosel that surrounds an open area with four tefachim. So I need four tefachim on each of these sides of the open space where he's going to put his rope and his pail in order to draw water. So how do I guarantee myself that I've got this hole that's four tefachim surrounded by mechitzos? I've got the neser now, which has four tefachim. What I mean is, the neser, after you do the kafuf, you end up with four tefachim. Now, kafuf on the right side, kafuf on the left side is going to give me another four tefachim on each side of mechitzos, plus I have the kosel, so now I have four mechitzos. And finally, we have another possible setup. Not Abaye, but it's Omer Avhuna Bered Rab Yeshua Hoysa HaGizustra Omedes Bekeren Zavis. Okay. So now a Keren Zavis means you have a kosel that goes north and south. You have a kosel that goes east and west, and they meet at a 90 degree angle. And now what we need is another two mechitzos. We already have two mechitzos with the two ksalim by definition in the Keren Zavis. And now there's mayim below this corner where the two mechitzos meet each other. And now what he does is he sets up once again a neser that is zakuf, that is vertical, and tzarek she gvoa asor tefachim, it has to have a minimum height of four tefachim. I'm sorry, of ten tefachim. If I said four, I stand corrected. Ten tefachim in order to serve as a machitza. But what we're going to see is now that this neser that is sort of like a resh, if you know what I mean, it goes this way and that way, against the corner where you have the two ksalim that meet at a 90 degree angle, this neser is now going to serve as an additional two mechitzos. How? Because rochba shnei tfachim u'shnei mashuyin. He sets up this neser in a way that its width is sort of parallel to the kosel, and it's 10 tefachim away from the kosel, and the actual thickness, which is called in Hebrew the ovi, is now going to be rachak min hakosel pachos mishlosha tefachim. So again, whether you choose this kosel here or that kosel there, it's always going to be less than three tefachim in its distance. So that now, all I need is a mashahu. No, just one second. Right? So, ma'amida shehi rechava makbil lekosel echad rachok menu arba tefachim v'ovya rachok mea kosel asheni pachos mishlosha tefachim shu lovlit nimta sheyesh kan mechitza shel chamisha tefachim u'mashahu smucha lekosel echad. So he's got now five tefachim in a mashahu in one mechitza, and that's close to the kosel, right, one of the two ksalim. And rechoka me'akosel hasheni arba tefachim, and now it's four tefachim distant from the other kosel. V'onuromes haneser ki'ilu tefachu mashu hanosar nichvach letzad hakosel. All we need now is a tefach and a mashu that we bend towards the side of the kosel, and we have now in addition to that tefach of mashu, we have less than 3 tefachim of airspace to the kosel. And now we're going to apply lavud. So by applying lavud, we're going to add the tefach of mashu to the 3 tefachim minus. And you'll get 4 tefachim. So we have now a halal of arba al arba, and it's surrounded by 4 machitzos, right here in the corner. So again, just looking for one more minute at the diagram here, you have 2 ksolim that reach a 90 degree angle each other, that's a keren zavus. Now you set up this neser, that is zakuf, it is 10 tfachim high. And now, what you have is, on the neser, again, the neser looks like an L shape, and it's situated in close proximity to the kosel. Its distance to the kosel is less than 3 tefachim, and its width is a tefach and a mashu, correct? So you have, if you follow my hands, this L shape, right, which one is pointing to 2.9 tefachim towards this kosel, the other is the same towards that kosel. And what you have is, you have now a tefachu mashahu on this side, a tefachu mashahu on that side, and that's going to traverse that distance of 2.9 tefachim to the kosel, so that in effect, you have the airspace that is surrounded now by 4 mechitzos, and it's 4x4 tefachim. It's 10 tefachim down, which is the mechitza. So we're going to combine kuf with godasik mechitzos as if it goes all the way down to the water. And then Rav Hanani is going to allow you to draw the water. So now the Gemara says we have so many brilliant scenarios in which we could avoid the requirement of a dalet al dalet amos. Is Ela Hodisanya Rab Khanani Benakav Yomer Gizustra Shieshba Arba Larba Amas Choking Ba Arba Larba Tfachim Umimale? So it seems that from the record of the Braisa, Rab Khanani requires that this Gizustra, this platform, be 4 Amos by 4 Amos. Nothing less will do. Is Hechimish Kachasla? I mean, there are so many different opportunities to circumvent this requirement. So the Gemara answers, the Avida Kiasita. Right, asita is that, I think it's called a pestle in English. I forget what it's called. Anyway, maybe it's called the anvil. Oh, we can look it up. And that's what you use to crush something. So basically what he's trying to convey is that there are no ksolim at all. And basically you have out on the sea, out on the ocean, you've got a gezustra. And now you have to make a nekev in the middle of this gezustra. That's going to be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. You're going to need that the gezustra itself has 4 by 4 amos, so that it has 24 amos square. When you subtract the 4 amos, you're left with 10 tefachim on each side, and they will form mechitzos. Okay, then let me just see if we can very quickly, where are we here? We're on Pei Zion. Oh, he calls it a mortar, MORTAR. And he says that after you bend over the balcony, it looks like a mortar. I guess a mortar is something that has like a top to it, and then it goes down. Let me just see if he adds anything here. Okay. So again, the minimal size of this gezustra is now going to be 24 by 24 tefach. Okay, the hole is not near any wall. It's a platform standing on stilts. Okay, I would add 3 words here. Out in the water, right? And all its space and all its partitions, its mechitzos, therefore must be self-contained. Fine. That's what we have. And the Mishnah now addresses the case of a waterway that splits two chatzeros, one from the other. Amas Hamayim. Now, what happens is you have a large lake, and the lake sort of has tributaries. In this case, the Amas Mayim is a small tributary. She overs bechatzer, and it separates a part of the chatzer from another part of the chatzer. I said before, let me correct myself, there are two chatzers. There's only one chatzer that is surrounded by mechitzos. So you have two houses, and there are mechitzos coming out of the sides, solid, there are walls that come out of the sides and against the facade of these two houses. But right down in the middle of these solim, you have an amas mayim that flows through. And now you want to draw water from this amas mayim up to the chotzer. Is ein mamalin heimenu b'shabbos? The only way we're going to allow you to take the water from the Amas Mayim up to the Mechitza, into the Mechitza of the Chatzer. Now, the Amas Mayim is called a Carmelis. You're not allowed to take from a Carmelis into a Shusay Yochid. Elim Kain, Asula, Mechitza Gavoa, Sora Tfachim, Beknisa Ubayitzia. And what that means is that below the ground level, as you get to the lip of the Amas Mayim, which is again below the ground level, you're going to have to set up a mechitza of 10 tefachim going from the lip of the Amas Mayim down, and another one you have to set up at the point where the Amas Mayim flows into the chatzer, which means underneath the kosel at this side, and it goes out on the other side. So you have to set up a mechitza on the other side. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaKosel Shal Gabo Tido Mishum Mechitza. So this is something that we're familiar with, that Rabbi Yehuda is willing to say that the kosel on top of the Amas Mayim, just like he said in the case of the bar, is considered like a mechitza. Amar of Yehuda, Maisa Bi'ama Ovel. Ovel is the name of a city. And there was a case of an Ama that was flowing through the Chatzer. Okay. He translates an Ama as a water canal. Okay, fine. And Hayu Memala Mimen Al Pi Zkenim B'Shabbos. They conferred with the great scholars of the time, and they got a permission to draw the water from this water canal up to the chatzer. And Rabbi Yehuda understood that the only way they could have allowed that is because they relied on the kosel as if it were a mechitza separating the river from this little canal, this Amas Mayim. So the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, you have no proof from the story of Avel, because the reason why they allowed it in that case was not because they were relying on the kosel as a mechitza, but rather because the Amas Mayim did not have the minimum the minimum requirements of a Carmelis. The shear of a Carmelis. The shear of a Carmelis is asara tfachim in height and four tfachim in width. And that sets it up as a reshus unto itself. If it's either less than 10 tfachim in its height or it doesn't have four tfachim in its width, then it's not considered a reshus liatzma, and it doesn't gain the status of a carmelis. It really is completely batel. It's part of the reshus that it finds itself in. So this ama, which flows through the chatzer, and the chatzer is just a yachid, is considered an integral part of the Rishus HaYachid because it cannot qualify as a caramelist. It doesn't have that was the word I was looking for. It doesn't have the dimensions of a caramelist. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa. Asu la b'knisa v'lo asu la b'yitzia, asu la b'yitzia v'lo asu b'knisa. If they set up regarding this Amas Maya, a machitza on one side, but not on the other, is ein memalem emen b'shabbos. You cannot draw water from this Amas Mayim on Shabbos, because since it's open on one side, whichever side it is, it's going to flow into the main body of water, the lake or the river itself, and therefore it's considered connected as an extension to that body of water, and therefore it has the dimensions of a caramelist and the status of a caramelist. Elin kein osulo mechitza sara tfachim. And again, as we said before, this mechitza sara tfachim is from the sfas habar or ha'ama and all the way down. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kosel shal gabo tido mishum mechitza. Om Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa bi amas samayim shahoisa ba'a me'ovel litzi pori. So this body of water had canals that connected these two cities, Ovel and Tzipori. So the canal is passing through the chatzeros of these two cities. And they allowed him to draw. Omulo, so Rabbi Yehuda thought that this would certainly be a proof to his shita that the kosel on the top, above the Amas Mayim, which is the kosel of the chatzer, could serve as a mechitza that separates that part of the canal that's between these two mechitzos in the chatzer, and it disconnects it, so to speak, from the great river above. On Mulo, they said to Misham Raya, you bring your proof from there. It didn't have the dimensions that are the minimum requirements to set up a caramelist because it wasn't 10 tfachim deep, and it wasn't it wasn't 4 tfachim wide. So that means lo chilka rishus li atzma, it's considered part of the rishus where it finds itself in this case, part of the chatz. Tanya Yidduch, we have another braisa. Amas hamayim overes bein hachalonos. Okay, let's try to explain this. Now we have a row of houses on two sides of a canal. The houses have windows on both sides, and they want to draw water from this canal by putting their pail into the water and bring it back through the chalon, through the window, into the house. So the Braisa establishes that pachos mishlosha mishalshel dli umemale. Again, we don't know what this means. The Gemara is going to now try to analyze it, but just the literal translation is that if it's less than 3 tfachim, then you're allowed to draw the water from the Amas Mayim, from this canal. However, if it has 3 tfachim, you're not allowed to be mishalshel. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer pochas mi arba mishalshel d'liyam amale, arba ein mishalshel d'liyam amale. So Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees with the Tanakama. It's not 3 tfachim, but rather 4 tfachim. And now the Gemara is going to try to analyze this price. B'mayaskinon, what is the case of this price? So the Gemara wants to know exactly what does it mean that it has less than 3 tfachim, it has less than 4 tfachim, and in those cases you're allowed to draw the water from the canal. E lema ba'amas mayim gufa. If these shiurim, these measurements, are reflecting on the actual size, the dimensions of the Amas Mayim, and the Chachamim hold that if the Amas Mayim is 3 tfachim wide, it's a caramelis, and you're not allowed to take the water from the caramelis into the bayis, which is a Rishus HaYochid. Rav Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, says that it's not a caramelis unless it's 4 tfachim wide. He says then, now it's going to be is that the Chachamim of this Braisa are going to be in contradiction to the Chachamim of Rav Dimi. Why? Because ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came for Eitzel to Bavel Omer b'shem Rav Yochanan, ein karmelis p'chusa me'arba, that the minimum dimension and the width of a karmelis has to be 4 tefachim. Is lema, shall we assume, ketanoi omra lishmaite? Should we say that Rabbi Yochanan's statement really depends upon machlokas tanoim, because the Chacham say that once it's already 3 tefachim wide, it's already considered a karmel, so you're not allowed to draw the water. That's against Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan could only work out then according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's very odd. Ella, but rather, says the Gemara, that's not what the Bryce is talking about, but rather, but agapeha. It means, in Hebrew, it's called gidot, right? You remember the famous song of the revisionists, right? Shtei gidot layardein, right? The gidot are the banks of this Amas Mayim that are contiguous to the houses, right, on each side. And Enochinami, the Amo itself, is 4 tefachim wide, and that makes it a karmelis. And that's Rabbi Yochanan, and nobody disagrees with that. But what's the issue? Lahachlif. What he wants to do is, he wants to take his pail, and he wants to dip it into the water, draw it up, not to his house, because that he can't do, that would be taking it from a karmelis to Shasei Yochid, but rather putting it on the agaf, putting it on the bank. And then, as a separate action, a separate netila, after he placed it down on the agaf, he's going to pick up the pail from the agaf and bring it into his house. And he's going to do this over and over again. And the assumption now is that the agaf itself has the status of a makom ptur. And here we have a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Chacham hold that if it's 3 tefachim or less in the width, I shouldn't say 3 tefachim, if it's less than 3 tefachim in the width, then it's a makom ptur. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that if it's less than 4 tefachim, it's a makom ptur. The Gemara's not happy with that either. Why? Because again, we're getting into a machlokas. Ki asa Rav Dimi Omer Rav Yochanan, makom she'ein bo arba al bara. So you have like an amud, some sort of a, we've discussed on many occasions, some sort of a pillar that's located between a Rishus HaRab and Rishus HaYochid, Mutal Ibnei Rishus HaYochid, Vilivnei Rishus HaRab and Lekate Falov, right? Everybody's allowed to put it down, this burden on this amud, because it's a Mokom Ptur, Ubevad Shelo Yachlifu, just that you're not allowed to say that one person from Rishus HaRab is going to put it down on this amud, and then somebody from Shasa Yochid is going to take it from the amud, because that looks too much like an actual hotzah. In any event, here's the Gemara's kash. We see now that Rabbi Yochanan holds you're allowed to put it down on a makom ptur, but only if it's not going to end up in a different rishus. Correct? So then, how could it possibly be that in our sugya, in the case of agapeha, we're going to allow this lahachlif situation where it starts in a karmelis, goes into a makom ptur, and then from the makom ptur into rishus hayachid? How would that be permissible? That's already a violation of the rule and the restriction of bilvad shelo yachlifu. So my answer is hasam in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, where he says we're not going to allow you to do this chalifin kind of thing to get it from Rishus HaRab Trisiyah. That's because we're dealing with Rishus Doraisa. And now we turn to Pesayin Amid Beis. Aval hacha, but here in the Raisa, we're talking about a makom ptur that's located between a Rishus HaRabim, I'm sorry, a Rishus HaYochid, and a karmelis. A karmelis is a reshus d'rabbanan. So even in the worst case scenario, he might mistakenly take the water in the pail from the Amas Mayim itself directly into his house without stopping to take a breath at the Agaf. Nevertheless, he hasn't violated an Issur D'oraisa. Therefore, our Braisa is going to allow it as long as the Agaf is a Mokum Ptur, which either means less than 3 Tfachim or less than 4 Tfachim. So the Gemara asks for Harab Yochanan, Bershrios Rabbanon, Nami Omar. When Rabbi Yochanan says Osel HaHachliv, he wasn't limiting his restriction and his prohibition to Rishuyos D'oraisa. It applies even to Rishuyos D'rabbanan. How do we know this? Because of a comment of Rabbi Yochanan on a Mishnah back on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, Disnan Kosel Shebein Shtei Chatzeros Gavo Asar Tfok Verochav Arba. So the Kosel on top has the width of 4 Tfokim. It's 10 Tfokim high. And now there's a chutz on one side of the Kosel, another on the other side of the Kosel. The Mishnah paskins that Ma'arvim Shnayim V'ein Ma'arvim Echad. This Kosel is a bona fide full-fledged machitza, separating the two chatzeros. Each chatzer now has to set up its own Eruv, and they cannot suffice with one Eruv for both chatzeros, because they're split into two. However, Hoyu Barosho Peros, if you want to know whether the people in the two chatzeros can carry something on top of the kosel, like Peros, Elu Olam Mikan V'Ochlim, Elu Olam Mikan V'Ochlim, both members of the chatzer are allowed to climb up to the top of this kosel, and they can eat the Peros on top of the kosel. Nifrats HaKosel, if now there's a pirtza in the kosel, Ad Eser Amos, if it's less than 10 amos of a pirtza, Ma'arvim Shnayim, they can set up two different Eruvin, because each chatzer could set up its own Eruv. But Ratzu, if they decide they want to set up one Eruv, Ma'arvin Echad, they can do one Eruv for both chatzeros. And we consider the two chatzeros as one rishus. Why? Mipnei Shehu kePesach, this pirtza, which is up to but not beyond 10 amos, is considered a Pesach. So you now have like a chalon or a Pesach between two chatzeros, and that allows you to set up one Eruv, because we view the two chatzeros as one Rishus, one Eruv suffices. Yoser Mikan, but if the Pirtza is more than 10 Amos, then it's not a Pesach, it's a Pirtza. And then we have no Mechitza that separates between these two chatzeros, and it's one Chatzim, Arvim Echvei Marvim Shnayim. They don't have the option of setting up two individual Eruvin. Vavina, but we asked the question on this Mishnah, Ein bo arba tfachim mai. What if the kosel does not have the width of 4 tfachim? Rav says, Amar Rav, it's not considered a reshus unto itself, but rather it's considered avir shtei reshuyos. It's like the airspace between two reshuyos on both sides. Shaletes bo v'lo yozes bo milo nemo. When you have an area that belongs in that tug of war situation to two different Rishuyos, two different Chatzeros, then the Osro Zuol Zu, and you're not allowed to carry at all regarding anything that's on top of the Kosel. And Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Elu Malin Mikan V'Ochlin, V'Elu Malin Mikan V'Ochlin. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan says that this Kosel, which doesn't have the width of 4 Tfachim, is now Batel to the two Chatzeros. In other words, you could be Mekil, and the Ozda Rabbi Yochanan L'Tameh, and this ruling of Rabbi Yochanan was consistent with the Chiyasa Rabbi Dimi on Rabbi Yochanan Mokom She'ein Bo Arba Al Arba. Since it doesn't have 4x4 Tfachim, and it's between Erish Sarab and Erish Sayochim, Mutul Ibn Erish Sarab, Ulev Ne Erish Sayochim, Lekatef Olo, Bevachelo Yachlifu. So that we see from the din of Rabbi Yochanan that you're not allowed to be machlif, right, from one Rishus HaYochid, from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim through a Mokum Ptur. And this is going to be a source and a support for Rabbi Yochanan himself in the case of the Kosel Ben Shtei Chatzeros. Now, in the case of the Kosel Shevein Shtei Chatzeros, where the Kosel is not 4x4 Tfachim, and Rabbi Yochanan is Mekil, allowing you to take something from the top of the Kosel into your Rishus on your side of the Chatzer, and he on the other side, but not to take it from one side to the other side, because that's an Isur LaHachlif. And now we're talking about a case of Rishuyos Derabbanan. I mean, both Rishuyos are Rishus HaYochid, and the Torah would not prohibit it. So the Gemara answers, Hahi, that statement of Rabbi Yochanan with regard to the Kosel between two Chatzeros, when the Kosel doesn't have four Tfachim, Rabbi Yochanan says each one on his side of the Kosel, this chatzar and that chatzar, are allowed to take something onto the kosel and down from the kosel, from which you wanted to derive that you're not allowed to be machlif from one chatzar to the other, even though it's only reshus derabbanan, is Zeiri Amra. Zeiri holds that Rabbi Yochanan went as far as to saying that there's an isa lahachlif even in reshus derabbanan. But Rav Dimi, who brought this transmission and told us the story, he thought, in his view, that the same way that Rabbi Yochanan allows each member of the respective chatzeros to take from the kosel, he also allows lahachlif from chatzel chatzer, because it's only reshus derabbanan. So now the Gemara asks Ula Zeiri, but according to Zeiri's understanding of Rabbi Yochanan, that you're not allowed to be machlif reshus derabbanan through a makom ptur, is kasha ha? What is he going to do with the braisa with regard to Amas Mayim? Because we said in that braisa, when the Amas Mayim is Overes Bechotzer, and if it's less than three Tfachim on the Agaf, on the bank of this canal, or less than four Tfachim, you're allowed to be Meshalshel by putting the water, you know, down on the Agaf, and then taking from the Agaf into the Rishus HaYochid. You see clearly that in Rishus Rabbani you're allowed to be Machlif, Derech HaMokim Ptur, is the Iri Mokim La, Be'amas HaMayim Gufa. Zeiri is not going to say that this price is talking about a case of the Agaf, you know, that bank of the canal, but rather it's talking about the canal itself. Now, if that be the case, then it comes out that according to the Chachamim, once you have an area of water that's three tefachim wide, it already becomes a karmelis, and therefore you're not allowed to carry it into your house. Rav Shimon Gamliel says it's four tefachim. And then Rav Dimi Tanoihi, then it comes out according to Zeiri, that what we assumed in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Dimi, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that karmelis has to have a minimum of a four tefachim width, that itself is a machlokas tanoim, according to the Chachamim, if it has a three tefachim width, that's enough to set it up as a karmelis. So the Gemara now asks another kash on Zeiri. If, according to Zeiri, we're talking about the width of the Amas Mayim itself, and we said that if it doesn't have the width of the shear of a karmelis, whether it's three tefachim or four tefachim, then you're allowed to carry the water from the water, from the Amas Mayim into the bayis, because the Amas Mayim now does not have the status of a karmelis. Tehevi ki chore karmelis. Since the river flows into this canal, the canal is just an extension of the river, and the river itself, or the lake, is a karmelis. Therefore, the canal itself, as an extension of the lake or the river tributary, is in itself called chore karmelis. And we have a halacha of chorim. For example, if you have, let's say, a Rishus HaYochid, and the wall of Rishus HaYochid, the mechitza, has an opening in it, then that opening is called chori Rishus HaYochid, has the status of Rishus HaYochid. Let's apply the same thing to a karmelis, and we should apply and conclude that chori karmelis ki karmelis. So how can you carry, even if it's less than three tefachim wide, from the Amas Mayim into your house? And the Gemara answers, Abai bar Ovi, Rab Chanina bar Ovi, the Amish Ravayu, ain chorin le karmelis. When the Chachamim established the chumra of a carmelist, they prohibited a carmelist. They didn't do so in the case of chore carmelist. That's the first answer. Rav Ashi offers a second answer. Amar afilu tema yesh chorin lekarmelis hani milibe smucha hacha bimufleges. In other words, there's quite a distance. He doesn't tell you exactly how much of a distance between this canal and the lake itself. And that's called Mufleges. So therefore, since the Carmelis, which is the greater body of water over here, is far from this place, which we want to call Chore Carmelis, meaning the canal, therefore, given that distance, it's not considered Chore. It's not an extension of the lake. Ravina Omar, now the Gemara goes back to the Braisa and the Machlok Shin Chachom Rav Shim Gamliel and gives another twist to it, another interpretation. Ravina Omar, Ravina says that the Machlok Shin Chachom Rav Shim Gamliel and the Braisa about what the width, the Rochav of this canal, whether it's three or four Tfachim, it's not the canal itself, it's not the agafim, kigon di avad la nifke afuma. We're talking about a case where he sets up kind of quasi mechitzos at the two extremes of the canal, right where the mechitzos of the chotzer almost meet each other except for the canal. And he puts into the water of the canal a machitza on that's made up of two chalokim. It's like the opening of a salon, you know, two sides of a wall. Each one is close to the kotel of the amas mayim, and between these two openings, these two motzaot, called in Hebrew, he now sets up a revach, a certain airspace. And the water goes through that empty space that separates these two planks, if you will. And the Chachamim established that if that revach is less than three tefachim, that's the Chachamim of Rav Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah, then we're going to apply the principle of Lavud, and it's as if there's a mechitza that goes through the entire Amma. And therefore you're allowed to draw water from it, because we're going to apply the principle of Lavud if it's Pachos Mishlosh. Rav Shim Gamliel says no, that even if it's three Tfachim plus, as long as it's less than four Tfachim, we'd apply the principle of Lavud. V'yazir Rabbanu L'tamayu. Rav Shim Gamliel L'tamay. This is an old Machlokes. We learned back on Daf Tes as to what the shear of Lavud is. The Chacham hold that you only say Lavud if it's less than three Tfachim, and Rav Shim Gamliel says that you apply Lavud if it's less than four tefachim. So just to take a look here at how he translates this, he says that the Bryce is referring to a case where we made outlets for the canal at its entrance and at its exit. These outlets were open in the middle to allow water to enter and exit the chatzer. Alright, so he calls it outlets. Here, he calls it motzaot. Okay, I guess motzaot would be outlets, but basically what it is, it's like these platforms on the inside of the ksolim, on two sides of the opening where the amas mayim goes through. And if we apply the principle of lavud, then it's considered like it's a closed mechitza, and that would be either less than three tefachim according to Chachamim, or less than four tefachim according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. The Mishnah says, Gizus Terah Shehi Lamalim and Amayim, and he creates this hole of 4x4 tefachim, and he wants to draw the water through this hole. Ein Mamalim Heimenu B'Shabbos, Elim Kane Osu La Mechitza Gavoa Asar Tefachim. So he has to make a mechitza around this char that surrounds the entire char, and it has the height of four tefachim. Bein milamala, bein milamata. He has two options. He can either set up this
mechitza from the gustra going down or from the down going up to the char in either direction. V'chein, and so too, shtei gustaros, lamala, zu lamala mizu. So you've got on the facade facing the water, you have two floors, the bottom floor and the top floor. Each one has its gustra. And the Mishnah says that osu le'el yona, if they made this hole allowing for the drawing of the water on the top gustra, v'lo osu le'tachtona shteim asuros. Both of them are prohibited from drawing the water. The bottom one is because he doesn't have a mechitza in his gustra. And the top one is also because of the bottom one, because the bottom one also gets use of the opening in the top one. And Adshia Arvu, they have to set up an Erev between the two. Why? Because the Char, the Nekev in the Elyona, now is Meshamish two Rishuyos. And we said that whenever you have a third Rishus that functions for two Rishuyos, you have to set up an Erev. The Gemara says, Masnisen, our mission that a Gustra above the water requires Mechitzos, Deloka Chananya ben Akavya, Desanya Chananya ben Akavya Omer Gezusteros Yesh Ba Arba Al Arba Chokek Ba, and he carves out in the middle an opening of Arba Al Arba Umemale. Now an Amma, as we said before, is made up of six Tefachim, so he's got four Ammas, which is 24 Tefachim, and outside of the four Tefachim, which he carves out in the middle, he has now 10 tefachim on each side, and we see these 10 tefachim as if they were nichfafim lamata, and therefore they surround this hole that he made, and it's a mechitza tluya. Then we're going to apply the principle again of go to achis, and we're going to view it as if there are mechitzas that reach all the way down to the water, and the nekev is now surrounded by four mechitzos, and it's a rishus hayachid, and therefore you're allowed to take the water through this nekev to the gustaros. Om Rabbi Yochum Yishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, lo hita Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, ela biyom shel Tveria. The case of Rabbi Chananya was the yam of Tveria, hoel v'yeshla ognim, and ayoros v'karpifos, makivos osa. As we discussed earlier today, the yam, the kineret, is now surrounded by what looks like mechitzo, so it's not a classic carmelis, and it looks a little bit like a rishus hayoch that's surrounded by mechitzo. So again, it's only a heker b'miktas, but it's enough of a heker to allow this double gam kof v'gam god ochis mechitzo, sav v'shar memos lo, and he would not allow that in other cases. Tan Rabbanan Shlosha Dvarim Hita Rab Chananya, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya L'Anshei Tveria. Number one, Memali Mayim Migustra B'Shabbos. He allowed this double combination of Kuf and God Ogud in order to allow drawing the water from the river through the hole in the Gustra. Tomnin B'Otze. Okay, this has to do with Hatmana. And you're allowed to do Atmana with Otza, which is the Psoles of Kitnios. And finally, Mistapkim Be'aluntis. You're allowed to dry off a Beged by using a cloth. And even though the cloth is now going to absorb some liquid, we're not afraid that he might come to Schita. And now the Gemara is going to go through all these three halachas. So we're going to stop here. And we're up to Daf Pei Zayin Amid Beis, Mimalim Mayim Migustra B'Shabbos, which is approximately 7 lines up before the end of the Let me wish you a great day.